Thank you. Many of us carry certain memories with us from childhood. I was raised in the country, and my grandparents lived in a nearby town. Now, some of the things that I remember are the houses that lined the street where my grandparents lived. One of the features of the houses was that large front porch. It was a favorite activity to sit on the porch and involve oneself in the activity called people watching. Everybody did it. One of my aunts knew the schedule of everyone who lived on that street. She knew who went to work, and then she knew what time they came home. She knew that an elderly neighbor received Meals on Wheels, and exactly what time that meal would arrive. She knew when the mailman would be coming down the street to deliver the mail. She knew what time the children would return from school. She knew when the neighbors received visitors. And she also noticed what time it was when the visitors left. Now, some of us may find this to be a wee bit intrusive. But in a small town, that's how it was. And like I said, everybody on that street did it. Now, at some point in time, everyone returned home and settled in for the evening. Even those individuals, the ones involved in the activity called people watching, eventually they left the porch and retreated to the sanctuary of their own house. There is something comforting about that place that we call home. No matter what makes up our time of activity, at the end of the day, we just want to retreat to a place where we may unwind and be alone with our thoughts. And so much attention is given to that place where we choose to live. Whether it's an apartment or a condo, a townhouse, a single-family residence, or perhaps a mansion. Whatever it is, we know that we will call it home. And we want to feel comfortable in our home. Having chosen where it is that we will live, we then proceed to carry things into our houses that are compatible with our idea of what we want our home to be. We decorate it in a certain way. We consider fabrics and colors. We choose furniture. And then we decide what it is we're going to hang on the walls. We fill our closets with clothes that we sit reflect our sense of style and design. We fill our refrigerators with the food that we like to eat. We carry a great deal of things into our house, surrounding us with what we consider to be important to that life that we say we wish to live. Well, the thought occurred to me that we also do this with other aspects of our life. For instance, we like to be in the company of people that we enjoy and are compatible with. We feel more comfortable when we are among others who share our interest, with others who like to do the things that we like to do. But we have also noticed that people come into our lives for various reasons. Some are there because of circumstances. They may be there because they are family. Or maybe it's because we happen to live in the same neighborhood. Some are there because we call them co-workers. Or maybe we happen to attend the same church. Basically, they are in our lives because of certain conditions, Some of them we are compatible with, but others not so much. And then there are those other individuals. These are the ones that we invite into our lives. These individuals are special. We share something with them that goes beyond the circumstances or where it is we might happen to find us. We have a name for these individuals. We call them friends. We invite them into our houses so that we may enjoy them in that place that we call home. When someone asks us where we live, we give them that address, the one that we call home, the place where we receive our mail. It is that place where our body resides. Now, much of our consideration about life concerns what it is that we think about it, what is our view, and how do we reason about life. We allow certain thoughts and ideas to enter our place of awareness for the purpose of consideration and determination. And then we make our decisions from this place of reasoning. We reason about life in consciousness. It might even be said that while our body lives in a place of brick and stone, we have reality in that unseen place we call individual consciousness. It might even be said that consciousness is our true house, the place where we live, move, and have our being. Just like we choose the physical location of where the body resides, so do we choose the place we wish to live in consciousness. It really is a matter of what we are aware of. If we fill our consciousness with thoughts of us as the human being, then that is what will reside in our house. Just like we determine who will enter our physical location, so too do we allow admittance into our consciousness. We pick and we choose our house guests. And we pick and we choose our thoughts. Now, the house of the physical location, it is built on a foundation. A foundation that will support the structure on its site. And if there is no foundation, well, the house, it will not stand. If it is not built on solid ground, it just might slip into a sinkhole or maybe disappear in a mudslide. We understand the need for caution when building our house of brick and stone, for we understand that that is where we are going to live. We must give equal attention to detail when we consider building our house of consciousness. It too requires a foundation. A house built in human awareness, it does not have a solid foundation. The psalmist tells us, "Except the Lord build thy house, they labor in vain that build it." And then in the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us about a wise man. The one who built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And Jesus went on, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We live in consciousness, and we build our house in consciousness. To build on a solid rock, on solid ground, means that we are building our house in spiritual consciousness, on the foundation of the principle of the omnipresence of God. When we build that physical house, the one of brick and stone, there were lots of decisions to be made, many things for us to do. But not quite so with that spiritual house. Remember when we consider the words, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." So just how does this house get built? We have determined that we want to live in a spiritual house, but we certainly do not wish to labor in vain. The house which is built on principle, it is revealed in our time of stillness. The firm foundation is truth. And we receive truth from that still small voice, the one that guides and directs. Now, a house built on truth, it withstands the storms of the human experience. Just what are the winds and the rains and the storms that are associated with the human experience? Well, the storm, it might appear as lack or trouble. It might appear as anger or fear. The rains, they may pour down on us, taking the form of resentment or negation, or perhaps rejection. The winds, they blow, bringing the debris of confusion and concern. All beat upon our house of consciousness, seeking admittance. Yes, these things may come upon us. But the one who knows himself as Christ has learned not to be touched by the human condition. A consciousness imbued with truth, it withstands anything that the world may throw in its direction. It will not be moved. Now that we have established our house in spiritual consciousness, I might ask the question, what do you have in your house? What is contained in your house built by truth? Well, we know that the physical house is filled with what satisfies us in a personal way. It contains what is compatible with our sense of design, color, and style. It reflects all of those things that we hold dear. And so it is with our spiritual house. Contained within this house is what is compatible with our sense of who we are, of our divine being. Now, when we first become aware of truth and what makes up a firm foundation, we might not have so much in our house. We haven't lived so much from that awareness, so our house might have some empty spaces. It's true. We do our best to stay true to our time of meditation. We say our affirmations, and we pray in the awareness of what already is. The building of this house is done according to the process called unfoldment, receiving revelation upon revelation, allowing the Lord to build the house. Not unlike when we filled our physical house, the one of brick and stone. We did so piece by piece until it was filled. So too do we build the house of truth. little by little, through growth and understanding. Now, if the kingdom of God is within us, we must find a way to allow it to flow from us. I think that most of us are familiar with the story in the Bible that tells us about Elijah and the poor widow lady. Elijah approached the woman and he asked, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little of oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and then die." Well, basically, this poor widow lady was telling Elijah that she had just enough in her house for one last meal for her and her son, and then they were going to die. But Elijah persisted. He said, "Fear not, and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Well, the poor lady, she had just told Elijah that there was only enough for one last meal, and it was meant for her and her son. Basically, Elijah was asking that it be given to him instead. But he also said, "Fear not, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal, it wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So what exactly happened here? In this little story, Elijah was demonstrating a spiritual principle. He had no way of helping the poor widow in a material way. He did not have money or food of his own to give her. All he had to offer was spiritual help, but he also knew it had to be made tangible to meet her need. The prophet realized it was not a matter of asking what he could give her, but rather, what have you? What do you have in your house? He asked her to take what she had and do something with it. And she did. She heeded the words, "Fear not." She trusted Elijah and she worked with what she had in her house. When we take what we have in our spiritual house and work with it, we are cooperating with the truth that never runs out. But remember, when we first begin to build our house of consciousness on a spiritual foundation, we don't have a lot in our house. And there might be times when we are willing to tell anyone who wants to listen that we have very little. Our first instinct might be to hoard what we have, waiting until we can gain more wisdom and understanding before we can attempt to live in that house. But this is not how it works. If we have in our house is but one spiritual idea, such as God is good, then let that be our affirmation. Affirm it over and over until it is felt in our heart. This is our foundation. Right where we stand is holy ground. Having established our foundation in truth, more of it will be revealed. We are using what we have available, and it will not fail. This bit of truth will satisfy us for many days until the Lord sends rain necessary for the next revelation. So once again, let us ask ourselves the question, what do we have in our house? Well, if the Lord has built our house, then it is not a matter of us trying to fill it, but rather finding a way to release what is already there. We have been told that within us is planted a holy right seed. If we are not experiencing what is contained in this seed, then we are not living according to our reality. What is contained in the spiritual seed is the spiritual fruit. And it is this fruit that comes forth and flows from us as God's blessings. We reach a time in our lives when we must live what it is we know us to be. Regardless of what it is we're reading or what it is we're studying, regardless of what it is we debate or we discuss, there comes a time when we must live our consciousness. The time arrives when we must express what it is we know us to be, the spiritual being, the nature divine. We have spent enough time as the student. Now, this was an important step, for it was at this stage that we learned and we tasted and we tested. It was at this time that we filled our house with new ideas and discarded others. But there comes a time when we must consider what to do with all of this learning. We really do have to discover what we have in our house and then do something with it. When we begin to live what we have learned, we fulfill our reason and our purpose for being. We are God's expression on this earth plane. And when we know that this is so, we truly do live in the house that was built by the Lord. We are told that there are many mansions, many states and stages of consciousness. And I do say that in the process of building our consciousness on solid ground, that we visit many of these places. When we began to build our house, the one of brick and stone, we may have made a few mistakes. Perhaps those drapes that we bought, they weren't quite what we had expected them to be when we got them home. But we had to carry them into our house to discover that this was so. Then it was just a matter of replacing them. And so it is with our spiritual house. We may have tried one teaching or another one, thinking that it was compatible with what we wanted to entertain in our spiritual home. But when we carried it into our house of consciousness, it did not fit with our sense of who we are. But we had to take it into that place of consciousness before we could discover that this was so. Then it was simply a matter of releasing it. The more that we live in our spiritual house, the more comfortable we become. We have found our home, and we know that that is where we belong. This morning we have the opportunity to enter the secret place of the Most High and commune with the Father in the center of our own soul's awareness. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? Let us take a few moments to relax our body and to close our eyes. In the stillness, we are reminded of the indwelling presence. This presence is the guiding light that directs our words and our actions. The receptive heart obeys the prompting to turn within and learn of me. To turn within is to enter the secret place of the Most High. It is to enter the kingdom of heaven, our spiritual home. We release all and follow Him. The personal act of surrender, speak, Lord, I am listening. Let us give no thought. Allow the presence to reveal itself. You are my child. Be not afraid. I am here. You did not come into this world to work on your own. You are my avenue for expression. You are my light sent to dissolve the darkness of confusion. The eye divine discerns and interprets the way. You may trust it. Its wisdom is pure, not diluted by the human thought. In this coming week, let us turn often to this place of serenity. It is where we belong. Be still and know is the command that opens the heart to receive the blessings that are ours. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift up your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.